15th chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the first verse. John 15 and 1, where we read a theme that you've heard probably over and over as this convention has progressed. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, his cast forth is a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Abide ye in my love. That's what the Greek says. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might abide in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should abide. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The very close of the last Bones Mill Convention, we had a time of prayer. Sister June Morgan had been up and had led the young people from Canton in some singing. She's the one that has had a battle with cancer, and last October took her walker in her wheelchair back to the clinic in Buffalo and handed them to the doctors and said, "Here, I won't need these anymore." And after Brother Buddy called her to the platform and she gave a testimony, he called several others to the platform fighting the same battle and prayed for them. And then at the very close of the convention, Brother Buddy said, "You know, people, when God finally has a people who will abide in him, we'll be able to lay hands on any one of these and see them instantaneously healed. God will hear us." As I was walking out of that tabernacle, God began speaking to me about abiding, and I knew that the first time I could get alone with the Word, I was going to look and see if abiding wasn't the key to all the promises of God. If it wasn't either expressly stated or implied that when we're in an abiding relationship, it's the key that unlocks the door to the moving of God. And I made a list of them. I'm not going to go into that tonight. But I saw it in front of all sorts of areas that you and I move in before God, that it requires an abiding relationship to be in that place where we hear the Word of God in our life, that he might hear us when we cry. Because he wants to bring us forth to a place where we not just bear fruit, that's not his intention, but that we bear fruit that remains, that abides, that does not fall from the tree before it's finished. And not only that we might have fruit that remains, but that we might go on into a realm that whatsoever we ask, we may have it. And abiding's the key. It's the foundation stone that unlocks the door. And so that's really where this word started to sprout from. And as Jesus began to teach his disciples about abiding in the vine, he was giving his disciples the very key to his own walk in God. Because if there's one characteristic about Jesus, he abode in the Father. His relationship with the Father is the key to his walk for 33 and a half years. It's the key to securing for you and I an opening into the kingdom. He abode in the Father, and therefore he turns around to us and says that now that I've opened the way, you may abide in me as I have abode in the Father. It's already been said last night, Brother Buddy already touched on it, but of course when Jesus came, he laid aside the power of the Godhead and he emptied himself. Brother Sam used to teach on the kenosis theory that he learned in seminary. It was a theory, the emptying theory, that Jesus emptied himself of the Godhead. And when he came, he emptied himself and he took on the veil of flesh and he came in weakness. And if we want to understand the secret of Jesus' walk into perfection, he came in weakness. And you and I have come in weakness. There's only one difference between my weakness and Jesus' weakness. He knew he was weak. I don't always know I'm weak. Sometimes find me walking a tightrope across Niagara Falls, thinking I'm in a secure place because I'm still not impressed upon me yet how weak I really am. But Jesus knew he was weak, and therefore he leaned on the Father. He did not do anything apart from the Father telling him to do it. That makes life awfully simple. He did not say anything unless the Father told him to say it. That also simplifies a lot of things. And because he abode in the Father, the cry came from the more excellent glory. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. For he was leaning on the Father. It was prophesied of him in the Old Testament. And so when he begins to speak of the vine to his disciples, he's speaking of a whole line of scriptural references. For example, in Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verse 1, it says, upon him will be there will come a branch out of the stem of Jesse. See, there's your abiding relationship. The stem, the vine, and the branch. And upon him will abide the spirit of wisdom, counsel, understanding, etc. Again and again, he's referred to as the branch, or the branch of righteousness, all in caps in the King James. So, when he speaks of an abiding relationship, and he uses the example of the branch and the vine. He's fulfilling many, many, many verses in the Old Testament. But he's also showing how he walked, abiding in the Father. So he begins here in verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. As the Father was a vine to him, he is the vine to us. And the Father is the husbandman, or the caretaker of the vine. Verse 2 says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. This verse is directly to his disciples. It's not to a lost multitude. It's not speaking to branches that were outside of him being taken away and branches that were in him left. But it says, every branch in me, both kinds of branches were already in him. Both kinds are already categorized as being branches in me already to begin with. But those that do not bear fruit are taken away. And those that are bearing fruit, they're purged that they may bring forth more fruit. Now, it's a very simple process there. If we're a branch in him and we do not bear fruit, we get cut off. And if we're a branch in him and we do bear fruit, we get cut. But you get cut coming or going. One's unto death, one's unto life. But we're going to get cut because the Father's the husbandman of the vine. I did a little study on some vines. And one thing about a vine, they called it a tree in the book I was looking at. They said it differs from all other fruit trees in that a fruit tree, normally you have to purge it once a year. But a vine requires pruning all season long, constantly, because a vine left to itself tends to produce more wood than branches, leaves, and fruit. Sound familiar? That's why the clip, 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 clipping's going on. Every time a little bit of growth crops up, you hear a clip. And it's the Father. He's after not just one or two grapes. He's after maximum fruit. Maximum fruit. And that's the calling that's upon this elect company of sons. If it wasn't on us in this way, then God would be satisfied perhaps with one or two grapes. There are other realms in which if you just bear one grape, you can go out and minister about it. You can get everything together long enough to produce one grape. It'll open a door of ministry. Or at least a book in the Christian bookstore. The Grape and I. How to produce a grape. But just as soon as you and I get a branch out there, we've been under it for 3 months, and the branch starts going, well, there's a little fruit, and you just start to get rejoicing a little bit about a little fruit. You hear a clip. Praise God, I'm finally out from under what I was under. Clip. Because he's after maximum fruit. And you know what he says next? He says, now ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. It's a clean thing to be under the husbandmanship of the Father. It's a clean thing to be clipped, trimmed, purged, pruned by Him. It's a clean thing to be a planting in His vineyard set apart unto Him so that He can purge, prune, and bring forth maximum fruit. Then verse 4 gives the twofold key to this. It says, abide in me and I in you. I was reading a little book. I didn't read the whole book, but I was thumbing through it. I found a chapter that was very interesting. A little book by Andrew Murray. And he said that when the graft is made of a branch into a vine, there's a two-step process that makes the branch one with the vine. So you can take a stem, you can take a vine, and you can take the branch of another and you can graft it in. You make a notch in the one and an opposite notch in the other, and you put the notches together and you bind them around with tape. And technically, that branch is a part of the vine if you don't take the tape off. Then there's a two-part step that has to take place to get it to be a permanent part of the vine. First of all, it's the same. First of all, is what he called the structural union. The structural union is just like when you ladies have a favorite plant, you take a little slip off of that plant and you put it in the water. And if you leave it in the water a little bit, what does it start to do? It starts to produce little hair-like roots. It's the same thing with that branch, is that it's abiding in the vine. It gets down into the sap flow of that vine, and it begins to send down little roots, little shoots, little fibers down into the vine itself, so that it becomes a part, literally joined to the vine, so that you can take the tape off, and the branch won't fall off. And this is what Paul's talking about in Colossians 2, 6 and 7, where he says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, being rooted and grounded in Him. So that when we abide in Him, when we remain in Him, when we seek Him and when we cry out to Him, there's little roots going down into Him. So when the tape comes off, we won't fall away. Because the tape is going to come off. The tape is going to come off. The tape is going to come off. And if we've got a structural union, we're going to be able to remain in it. And of course, we've heard it over and over and over for 3 weeks. To abide in Him means to obey Him. To abide in Him, to remain in Him, means to obey Him. Again and again and again. You know, if you want to look, it's in the chapter previous to this. Chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. He it is that loveth me and keepeth them. I believe every time we do, the structural union gets deeper and stronger and stronger and more able to remain. Then there's the second part. After the structural union is completed, after the vine is joined, after the branch is joined to the vine, then the life flow of the vine starts to come up into the branch. And when you get the life sap of the vine into the branch, there's no more question as to whether it's going to bear fruit or not. It's a settled matter. Because the life of the vine will produce the fruit. My life can't produce the fruit. Our life collectively can't produce the fruit. But if we're in a union with Him so that He can flow in us, there's no question about the fruit. It'll be by. Great big bundles of it. Great big clusters of it. It'll produce fruit if we'll abide. Well, how do you abide in Him? I know that it's... Brother Dick was touching on it again and again here. It's spending time with Him. We're going to know His will by spending time before Him. But of course, it goes beyond just spending time with Him. It then goes on obeying what we have heard. And I believe that every one of us in this room know exactly how to abide in Him. When it really gets down to brass tacks, you and I know how to abide in Him. It's an instinct that comes with the new creation. I've been given an example on this. You know, in Alaska Magazine a couple of years ago, there was a photographer, and he was out on a hike with his camera out in the Alaska countryside, and he heard some sounds. He went to the top of the hill, and he looked down, and here was one of these great Alaska brown bears. And it was down at the bottom of this little vale. And so he, being fascinated, he saw that it was a sow, and she had two cubs with her. So he got down on his stomach and sat there for a while, and he just observed this mother bear with her two cubs moving about the brush down below him. And then he saw a flash out of the corner of his eye, and he looked, and he saw that there were two wolverines creeping up. In secret, they were sneaking up on the mother bear and her cubs. Now, a wolverine is a very, very vicious animal. It's not near the size of a bear. But it's vicious enough to try to take a cub from a mother brown bear. I'd say it's pretty vicious if we know anything about mother brown bears. when anything bothers their cubs, they become unbearable. So as he watched these wolverines began to close in. And when I used to deliver mail down in the Miami area, sometimes we had dogs come after us. Sometimes we had two dogs come after us. There's more dogs per square foot in Miami than any other place in the world. And I remember being caught one time between two dogs. I remember driving around the corner in the van to pick up one of the men that was on my crew and saw him caught between two dogs. And he had his mail bag down. And he was going like this, you see. And because when he turned to the other one was closing in on him. And here he was going back and forth. I drove the van right up on the lawn because the lady was standing in the front door just watching. But anyway, that's what these two wolverines did. They came in on two sides of the mama bear. She saw the danger. She made one snort, and one baby locked right in on this side, and one baby locked right in on this side. And as she turned this way, they were right there with her. As she went back and forth, snapping and snarling, they stayed right close to mama. Tucked right in there. And as a result, she saved her cubs. Now, if they had just thought that abiding with mama was just spending a little time with her and not obeying her, just spending a little time with her, then they would have belonged to mama in word and to the wolverines indeed. And so he gives us a key here. Abide in me, and I in you. Abide in me. Remain in me, it says in the Greek. Stand in me. Be rooted and grounded in me. And if you'll remain in me, I'll be in you, and the issue of fruit is settled from that point on. Abide in me. I don't believe it's too hard. Otherwise, we could not be brought to judgment in the matter. We could not be held responsible. But just like those little baby bears knew instinctively where to stand, so do you and I know where the shadow of His covering is. Except you abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth, he that remaineth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing.